St. Philip Neri, who lived in Rome in the 1500s, had the reputation for being a saint, even fairly early on in life. And he so detested this reputation that he would do things that would portray himself as an idiot. And one of those things was to wear half a beard. One side of his face would have a beard, and the other side would be clean shaven. Another thing he did was to skip around Rome like a child. He would skip. And at times, in front of prelates and in front of dignitaries, he would skip in front of them, like maybe skipping four steps, jumping into the air. And then he would turn around and say to them, "Now what do you think of that?" And they, of course, would just stare at him as if he were some sort of an idiot. He also would wear bizarre clothing to portray himself as an idiot and a fool in order to destroy that vanity that he was a saint. Now, those who knew him knew better. Then St. Vincent de Paul got into an argument with a Jansenist who was a heretic, and after a long argument, the Jansenist blew up at him and said, "You're an ignorant man, and you should be deprived of being the head of your congregation." St. Vincent said to him, "If justice be done, I should be deprived of being the head of my congregation." And the Curé of Ars was the object of so much contempt on the part of his fellow priests that a petition went around to the bishop saying, "This man is not fit to be a priest. He is ignorant. He should be taken out of his pastorship." He got a hold of it and he signed his name to it. And all of these things are clearly examples of humility, extreme humility, of these saints. And the church gives us, you may not notice it, but the church gives us in these times after Pentecost two gospels of humility. Twice we get the lesson of humility. The other gospels have to do with some other Christian virtue, but twice we get humility. And the reason is that humility is the common denominator of all the saints, the common denominator of everyone who gets to heaven. They all had to be humble. Just like its corresponding virtue, charity. No matter what their century, no matter what their walk of life, no matter whether they were monks or missionaries or in between, they all had to love God above all things to a heroic degree, and they all had to despise themselves to a heroic degree. Humility and charity, just like the roots of the tree and the summit of the tree, all have to be, both of those virtues have to be in each saint to a heroic degree, no matter what they do. And every saint has those virtues. Humility is so necessary for sanctity because it removes the obstacles to charity. It removes the obstacles to the grace of God. And obstacles are a serious problem. There are people, probably as we speak today, whose chests are being opened up to clean out their arteries. Why? Because there is an obstacle to the flow of blood, and if that obstacle is not removed, they will die. Or when you are planning to go someplace and you get on the freeway and you bump into a big traffic jam. It's an obstacle. And all of a sudden your life changes. You realize you might be an hour late. all kinds of problems occur because there's an obstacle. And so also, when there is an obstacle to grace, which is the most important thing that you receive, much more than the blood that flows in your veins, when there is an obstacle to grace, you have serious problems and you might die if that obstacle becomes too great. So those who are in the state of mortal sin are those who love themselves too much, ultimately. It might be through impurity, it might be through arrogance, it might be through disobedience or avarice or whatever it should be. But they love themselves too much, they have a lack of humility, and that is an obstacle to the grace of God and an obstacle to the first fruit of the grace of God, which is charity. So we are warned about humility. The famous statement of St. Teresa of Avila, perhaps her most well-known statement, is humility is truth. That's what she said. Humility consists in knowing the truth about ourselves and in acting in a manner which is in conformity with the truth. Now, the first truth about ourselves is that we come from nothing. God made us from the slime of the earth. Evolutionists say that we came up from all sorts of low life and through monkeys and so forth. But they are psychotic. Because if somebody told you that the music of Mozart was composed by a cat walking on a piano, and he really and truly believed that and taught that in universities and so forth, you would say that man is crazy. He's out of his mind. He's a psychopath. And yet we are supposed to believe that the magnificent perfection of the human body and the perfection of all of nature and the balance of nature, the harmony of nature, and the perseverance of this order is due to a cat walking across the piano. You would have to be crazy to believe that. It is from God. All of this magnificent good is from God, and God balances the whole universe. So, it is not against humility to say, I have certain qualities. I might be more intelligent than the next person, or perhaps less. I might be better looking than the next person, or perhaps less. I might be able to play the piano better than the next person, or do this, that, or the other thing better than the next person. But all of that is intended by God. As we read in the epistle of today's Mass, St. Paul speaks about the gifts that are given to various people. All of that is intended by God. God distributes all of those things in magnificent wisdom. Imagine, for example, if there were only men in the world, and all the women roll their eyes. And then imagine if there were only women in the world and all the men roll their eyes. Because God has disposed in such a way that there are men and women and each have qualities and they contribute to the peace and harmony of the home. And such is the case also with the various qualities of people. And that means that whatever you have for a reason. You have for the glory of God. And it belongs to you, yes, but it belongs to you only in a certain way. Just as when you rent a car, if you brought it home to everybody and said, look at my beautiful new car, and then they found out that it was rented, you would look like a fool. They would say, He's an idiot. He tells stories. Because the car belongs to you, yes, in a certain way. But not really. If you got into an accident with it, you would be responsible for paying for it. Because it's not really yours. And so also, if you misuse the qualities that God has given you, even the quality of your own body and soul, if you misuse that, you are responsible for that. Because all of the things that you have pertain to the glory of God, and they are from God. The other humiliating truth is that anything that is ugly or obnoxious, sinful, perverted, distorted, rotten, or filthy in us is from us. And the reason for that is that you cannot get bad fruit from a good tree. And the good tree is God. He is all perfect. He is completely good. So He cannot give you something evil. He cannot create something rotten or imperfect, because He doesn't have it in Him. So what is rotten and bad in you is from yourself. So whatever is good is from God. Whatever is bad is from yourself. That is tremendously humiliating. When you think about that, that you do not really even possess the things that you are vain about, and that you do possess, really and truly, as your own property, the things that you're ashamed of, it is terribly humiliating. And that's why these saints do, or did, what they did. Because they contemplated those truths and realized that they are of themselves nothing. So vanity, which is this false pride that we take in our abilities and so forth, is a big lie. It's a lie that our perfections are somehow our own, that they pertain to us. It is true, as I said, that in a way they pertain to us, but they pertain to us as custodians. In other words, we are there to take care of them. The lie of vanity is to therefore claim as our own what does not belong to us, just as if you were to take someone's money. And to delight in it as your own, and to seek the honor and approval of others for something that is not your own. The lie of vanity continues, because vanity cannot live with the humiliation of the truth that we are responsible for our own defects. So one of vanity's solutions is to call sin virtue. So anger is turned into running a tight ship. Laziness is turned into being easygoing. And a habit of impurity is in some way dressed up as being a good partier or somebody that enjoys life. Another solution to vanity is to blame it on God. Blame sin on God. Why do sins exist in the world? Because God doesn't stop them. You hear that all the time. If God were a good God, He would stop all of this evil. That proceeds from the hardened pride of man, and I guarantee you that anybody that is saying that is loaded down to the depths of his soul with mortal sin. And the finger of accusation concerning sin would land right on them first. But they are quick to shove it off to God, laughably, because it is absurd that the source of evil in the world could be God. God is not obliged by any title to save us from doing the harm that we do. He is not obliged to the human race to save it from its own wrongdoing. If he saves the human race from its wrongdoing and all of the trouble that it makes for itself, it is by a mercy that he does that. It is not by a justice. He owes us nothing. And by his mercy, he does draw some to himself. By his mercy, he preserves some from sinning. But that is a mercy, and as he said to Moses, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. So the conclusion of today's lesson of humility is that humility is truth. It consists in not esteeming ourselves and in not wishing to be esteemed by others above what we really are. Secondly, the road to humility is prayer and the generous bearing of humiliations. God even permits good people to fall into mortal sin in order to bring about their humiliation, as in the case of St. Augustine, other great saints, St. Ignatius Loyola. Humiliation is a friend of our spiritual lives. It is not something that should be seen as a bitter pill. It is a friend of our spiritual lives, and if we are serious about overcoming pride, we will pray for humiliations. But when you do, be careful, because they will come and they will be tough. And thirdly, humility is the virtue which all must excel in order to enter heaven. Pride will never go to heaven. There is no pride in heaven, not a single shred of it, nothing, not a whiff of it. And if pride is not eradicated in this life, it must be eradicated in purgatory. It should therefore be, humility therefore should be sought and treasured at the price of every human possession. Humility and humiliation is the great prize, the precious treasure of this life. It should be seen as that, because it breaks down this terrible obstacle to the grace of God. Like the kingdom of heaven, humility is the pearl of great price. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.